I was looking for a job for some time, but nothing really spoke to me, especially because the pay was so low. But one day, as I was walking on the street, I stepped in a puddle. God damn it! I said, while I looked at the ground. My sneaker was soaking wet. I got so pissed off, but I saw something next to my foot. It was a blank piece of paper. I found it odd. I don't know why. Something told me to pick it up, and so I did. As it turned out, it wasn't what I initially thought. It wasn't just a blank piece of paper. Upon flipping it around, I saw a help wanted sign. There weren't many details there, but there were enough to spark my curiosity. The sign said, "Help wanted, Maynard Asylum. No experience is needed, attractive salary." It was blunt and straight to the point, but that's exactly what I needed. An attractive salary, I said. Now that's what I'm talking about. I went home that evening and researched everything I could find out about the asylum. I mean, I was aware of its existence, I knew it was right outside of town, but I had never really been there. All I knew before researching was information that came from all kinds of stories. Stories about crazy people, stories about ghosts, and stories about murders. Of course, I didn't believe any of it. It was just a building. Helping people with different mental problems, if you can call them that. After a quick Google search, I found out that the asylum was built around the 1940s. It was an old building, and the person who constructed it from the ground up, along with a crew of not so many people, was a psychiatrist who died just 4 years after it opened. That's all the information I found. But it was okay. That was all I needed. The next morning, I was ready to change my life. All I had in mind was the fact that I was going to make a lot of money and live exactly how I wanted, without having to flip burgers and worrying about whether I would have to put gas in the tank or buy groceries. I brushed my teeth, ate a quick breakfast, and I was off to the asylum. Okay, that doesn't sound right, but you get the idea. I went out the door. The sun was shining. Everything just felt right. I went to the bus station because my car was out of gas and patiently waited for it to come. "This will all change. I can't wait to use my car again," I said, while imagining the money I would make. I had no clue of the requirements needed for me to get hired, but my confidence was sky high, and I knew I just had that job in the bag. In about half an hour, I was there. The building was quite tall, and it had an eerie vibe to it. It looked deserted, but since they needed help, I guess the old saying goes, don't judge a book by its cover. The gate was also very tall and in some sense intimidating. But I still went through it. The courtyard was empty. Nothing as far as the eyes could see. I reached the front door, which was made of wood. I just went right in. The place was quiet, almost too quiet. The sound of my shoes on the tiles being the only thing making noise.
"How may I help you?"
A voice startled me. I turned around and saw a small man. Couldn't have been more than 5 feet tall. He had thick glasses and bald patches all over his head. I pulled up the help wanted sign.
"I would want to apply for this job," I said,
before introducing myself. The man smiled and shook my hand.
"Yes, let me explain what we're looking for. First of all, do you have any experience working in an asylum?" he asked me.
No, but I'm a fast learner and a hard worker," I told him, using every cliche you'd say at a job interview. He seemed pleased with my answers, but what he said next was a bit unexpected. He said that I just needed to keep an eye on the place. Just walk around, make sure no one comes in during the night, that sort of thing.
"That sounds great,"
I said, thinking it's the easiest job in the world. Oh, and the pay. It was well above minimum wage. I was so excited to start, but I didn't have to wait long. That night, at 10 p.m., I was at the gate, ready to step into my new duties. I walked in and the same man greeted me. He told me to call him if I needed anything or experienced any problems. He gave me the phone number and left, leaving me to, I don't know, keep an eye on things. As time went on, I felt sleepy rather than anything, so I started to walk around the halls. It seemed that no one was there. To my left and my right, there were all sorts of rooms, and each door was labeled as patient 1, 2, and so forth. "This is weird," I said as I continued to walk forward, checking everything out. At 12 a.m. sharp, a loud noise pierced my ears. It sounded like one of those old clocks that you'd have on the wall. I could hear while I felt like the walls were shaking. "What the hell is with this clock?" I yelled, but it stopped right after it rang 12 times. I got up from my crouched position, and all of a sudden, it was like the entire place came to life.
Oh my God. I could hear
all kinds of sounds coming from different rooms. From the room labeled Patient 8, I could hear screams. I knocked on the door, but the screams didn't stop. Being curious, I slowly opened the door just to see a disturbing image. It was a woman with white hair, blood all over her nightgown, scratching her arms until they bled. "Are you okay? I'll call an ambulance," I said while freaking out. But the woman didn't acknowledge me. I closed the door and dialed 911, but I had no signal right there in the asylum. The walls were too thick, so I quickly went towards the entrance to get outside, but the door was closed. I tried pulling it multiple times, but it didn't budge. I then called the man who hired me, but again, no signal. "What the hell is going on here?" I said. I ran back to patient 8 to try and help the woman, but the door was closed. The screaming stopped, so I guess she settled down, but I was still nervous. As I walked back, a loud boom scared me. I looked to my left. It said patient 20, and the sound came from the inside. Again, I knocked on the door, and surprisingly, someone answered.
"Yes, come in,"
the voice said. It sounded like an old man. I opened the door and saw exactly that, an old man sitting on the bed. I entered and said hello, but I saw that his hand was under his pillow.
"Come closer,"
he said while smiling. I wasn't exactly comfortable doing that, so I refused. He asked me again, this time without a smile and frowning his brows.
"Come closer."
"Why?" I asked, taking a step back. All of a sudden, the man started yelling and pulled out an axe from under the pillow. He charged right at me, but I managed to get out. I noticed that the door had a lock on the outside, so I turned it, not letting the old man come outside with the axe. I then heard screaming and threats from inside the room for a couple of minutes, until it stopped. I wasn't going to go in there anyway. I didn't care what he did to himself. I was not going to put my life in danger. I continued walking, and a cry for help came from the room labeled Patient 13.
"Help, I think he's dead,"
a woman screamed. I didn't exactly want to go in, thinking of what happened before, but the woman kept crying out for help, so eventually I opened the door. I saw a woman sitting in a corner. She was crouched down and crying. "Are you okay, ma'am?" I asked.
"He's dead,"
she said, while remaining with her face towards the wall.
"Who? What are you talking about?" I asked.
"My son,"
she said, before turning around with a small baby in her arms.
"He's dead,"
she screamed, and just like the old man, she charged towards me. I quickly went out and locked the door.
"That's it,"
I said, and I ran towards the entrance. Even though the door was closed, there was still one more hour until the guy came back, and I waited there. Fortunately, he came exactly when he said,
"Hello, how did everything go?"
he asked with the same smile.
"Really?"
I asked. Then I proceeded to tell him what I encountered.
"I don't even want to know what kind of people are in the other rooms," I said.
The man laughed and told me to follow him. As we walked towards the rooms, he said,
"The asylum is empty. You don't think I'd hire an inexperienced young man to watch over mentally disturbed patients, do you?"
I didn't know what he meant, but soon we reached the room. He then proceeded to open every door.
"See? Empty," he said.
"But I saw them," I said.
Well, they're not here anymore. They are, but in a different form, if you know what I mean.
What? I asked. The man smiled. A second after that, I went straight through the main door. I didn't want anything to do with that place or with that weird guy. Even today, years after it all happened, I stay far away from that place.
The world was just getting better for me. I had spent years in the asylum, and it felt good to be back home with my parents. I watched as my mother cried in the arms of my father, her eyes falling back on me occasionally as I stood in the center of the room. Liana, she said as she stood up, walking towards me. As a child, they tried to provide me with everything I needed. One thing that I wasn't allowed to have was a friend. So I made up friends in my head. My best friend was Maya, and she was always with me. One day, when I was outside, I got lost. I couldn't remember exactly what happened after that, but I knew that Maya kept me company. After I got rescued, I spent more time with Maya. I refused to go anywhere without her. Maya was glad to come out with me and didn't like it when I spent time with anyone else. So I kept to myself and stayed with Maya. My parents were advised that I should be taken to the psychiatric home where they discovered I had split personality. I kept trying to explain to them that Maya was real, but every time I tried to call her, she refused to come out. She would come to me later when I was alone in my room and tell me that she was scared that they were trying to take her away from me. I stayed in the asylum for a long time before they declared that I was fine. I didn't see Maya again. Here I was, after 4 years, standing in front of my parents and hoping they see that I was better. What I had was a defect anyway. That is what they called it. My mother's hug, as I have known, was enough to crush one's bones, but this hug at this very moment was comforting. I was glad to be back home. I opened my eyes to see my father wiping his tears. It was the first time I saw him cry. I missed him so much. I prepared your favorite, my mother said. Immediately she dropped the hug. Her hands cupped my cheeks. I smiled. I was out of words. I remember the way I was annoyed when they had told me where I was going. It broke them too, but I didn't see it at the time. Love would still be love, but they loved me despite who I was, and that was all that mattered. Later that night, people came around to welcome me back home, those I should have gone to high school with. I was 14 when I saw the first therapist, and I was 15 when I was asked to be admitted into the asylum. Out of all who came to welcome me, a face stood out. She was about my age, but taller with a slim stature. She stared at me intensely before walking up to me. I am Maya, she said and turned back. What? She looked at me and smiled at me. I smiled at her, even though she didn't see it before walking back into my room. Was she the same Maya? Where have you been? I asked, looking at her now. I saw that she's the one. She looked older than she used to, which was expected. It's quite complicated. She walked into my room. I wanted to ask how she knew where my room was, but it's been such a long time and I didn't realize that I missed her. What do you mean? I asked. You just stopped showing up. I told you, those people kept me away from you, she said, her eyes filling with sadness. I sighed. I've moved on, Maya. I think we should stay away from each other. I didn't want to go back to the asylum. She moved towards me with such speed that I didn't have time to react before her hand came up. The sharp metal which pierced my skin brought me back to reality. Her eyes were red from anger. The knife in her hand caused blood to form on my skin, but she didn't seem to care. She pushed me against the wall. I didn't quite understand why she was angry or what I did, but I begged and begged, but she didn't listen. The knife stayed in my skin, my blood gushing out like it was water. I'll kill us both, then we can be together. The handle of the door which moved caused her to rush out the back the way she came in. I slipped to the ground and my mother's arm caught me, tears forming in her eyes. Liana! John! She called my father and in a flash he rushed in, shocked at the sight. What happened? Who did this? My dad asked. I tried to talk, but the only thing which moved were my eyelids. I got dizzy. and mother calling my name was the last thing I heard. I woke up to the sound of machines in the beats of my heart, which felt like it was in my mouth. I felt someone's hands on me. It was comforting, and only one person could give such comfort, my mom. I was not happy at the kind of trouble I gave her. The wrinkles on her face made her older than she actually was. I opened my eyes and I almost jumped out of bed. It wasn't my mom. It was Maya. Her eyes were as red as they were yesterday night. This time, she looked angrier. You should have just let things end yesterday night. I don't even know what I did to deserve what you're doing to me, Maya. She laughed and said I was the only reason she was still there. If I was gone, then she would have peace. She asked if I knew what it felt like not to be able to talk to the only person she cared about. I'm sorry, Maya. That was the only thing I could say. I was too weak to fight back. The quick opening of the door turned my attention away from Maya, and by the time I turned back to her, she was gone. Mom, Dad, I called as my mom came to sit beside me, examining my body like she was the doctor. Who are you talking to? Dad asked. Maya, I choked out. She was the one who stabbed me. I thought I'd never see her again. My mom started crying and my dad went to hug her. I wondered why they were looking so sad. The door opened again and I saw the nurses from the asylum. No, I yelled, struggling against them when they came to pick me up. They said I was the one that stabbed myself. I argued with them that it was Maya, but they said no one has ever seen her. I cried, not just because of what Maya did, but because of who I was, the girl with crazy imaginations that needed help and safety. And if Maya came to see me again, I'll make sure to kill her first.